to come out of executive session and return to open session.
So moved, Will Cornuto.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Cornuto, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Good afternoon and welcome to the May 10th, 2023 Zoom board meeting. I called the meeting to order at 4 o'clock p.m. and received a motion to go into executive session by Mr. Johnson, and motion was seconded by Ms. Jones. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please pause for a moment's silence. Thank you. Before we approve the agenda, I need to take a roll call. Mr. Johnson.
Here.
Ms. Wise.
Here.
Dr. Mastin.
Here.
Mr. Hayes.
Here.
Ms. Jones.
Here.
Mr. Cadoo.
Here.
Gary Brittingham's here. I need a motion for the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
So moved by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Need a motion for the approval of the regular and executive minutes from the April 5th, 2023 board meeting.
So moved, Marcel Hayes.
Second, Adele Jones.
Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, we'll move to the superintendent's report.
Thank you and good evening, everyone. First on the agenda is the monthly financial reports and ESSER summary. Mrs. Hatfield, please.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight, I will be presenting the monthly financials as of April 30th. And at this point in the year, we are at 83.3% of the fiscal year complete and 81.5% of our payrolls complete. On the tax collections report, we received $55,056 in our April tax receipts, which brings our year-to-date total tax receipts to $11,250,910. At this point in the year, we have received 102% of our anticipated tax receipts, and this time last year, we had received 102.6%. Next is the revenue budget, which was already approved, so we will move on to the cost center. On the cost center report, again, we're at 83.3% of the fiscal year complete. Our salary line is at only 74%, so we're looking very good on our salary line. And on the second page of that, on our overall percentage, we're at 69.7% overall of our spending. So that's well below the 83.3%. So we're looking really good on our overall expenditures and, you know, able to handle any of those budgets that happen to go over a little bit. We're certainly able to handle that. Next is the ESSER report. On ESSER 2, in our mental health category, we had salaries and OECs for our mental health counselors. And in extended school year, we purchased some materials and supplies for our summer program. So we had a little bit of activity there. And on ESSER 3, there were no expenses in April for ESSER 3.
Is there any news on whether ESSER 3 will be extended or not?
We haven't really heard anything about ESSER 3 yet. We did hear something about ESSER 2, that it may be extended to 25.
Yes.
What
not? It's a strange thing, Dr. Madison, because
it just came.
The word was March of 25, I believe, for ESSER 2. So logic would tell us that ESSER 3 would be beyond that, but when you start thinking logically, it doesn't always happen. So continue with our expenditure plan to spend down ESSER II, regardless of when it expires, and continue to roll into ESSER III and to use those funds. One of the reasons that our discretionary budget is in better shape is because we've been able to do approved programs out of ESSER funding, and that's helped us, along with other districts along the way. And so we're not going to change our, regardless of when the expenditure date is, that we'll continue with our spending. From my standpoint, the sooner we close out 2 and 3, then the better we get back to a normal situation. And there are dollars that are available to use in those categories. Let's spend them, and then we're not drawing interest on them, and so let's just use it. Then I would circle back to the salary line situation. The board will recall we approved the 27th pay for employees last year. That third three pay month for the fiscal year comes in June. And so for the months of May and June, that'll actually be 5 payrolls. So we'll put a little more of a dent on the local salary line. It was budgeted and planned for. So that happens every 12 years.
And reiterating on ESSER, I would like those ESSER II funds, our plan was to have them set by September 30th because that was the original date. But, that is our plan. So I'm just hoping that ESSER III follows suit and is, continued longer extended as well. But thank you.
Thank you. District purchase orders and vouchers. Our famous rooftop units on the 100 wing. We had a compressor go out on one of those hot spells, and we need to get used to this. We actually have 6 of those types of units that are cooling our facility. They were past their prime probably 8 to 10 years ago. These are 1974 units.
Ooh.
And actually, they were probably past their prime 20 or 30 years ago. But the point of the matter is that Meathan's crew's done a great job. Mr. Eaton did a great job. We found a vendor who could actually get a compressor for that. The issue is parts. And also, if you think about reverse technology, can you find somebody who can work on this unit because of the age of the unit? And we were able to do that with National and HVAC. We considered emergency replacement of the rooftop unit. We used our enhanced minor cap money in order to be able to do that. The asterisk with enhanced minor cap is that you have to spend all of your regular minor cap before you can get into enhanced. We spent our regular minor cap on the renovation of the welding area. We did that earlier last summer, and so all of that is proceeding from there.
So is this done? This is done already?
It's already done.
Okay.
Yeah. It went down, and we were fortunate to be. And we've also been, weather has been cooperative. Last student day is June 8th, and so we've got to get between here and there regarding the units and then summer school work. But quite frankly, until the new building is built, we're each day that comes by, there shouldn't be a surprise about those units. The conversations with Dr. Donovan and Mr. Winkleblack, we're probably one of the only gyms that doesn't have banners in it regarding sports and teams and past state champions and those types of recognitions. So we've done a purchase order with Jostens for athletic banners. That's coming from athletic set aside. We have some portable bleachers that are not in great condition. And we moved them for spring sports and fall sports and probably graduations and other things. And so we wanted to replace four of those standard bleachers. Again, athletic set aside. Mr. Hayes, I'd love to get your documentation on it. It would be great. But in the meantime, those are being processed. Laptops for adult education, ABE, GED programs, and Groves and Adult Basic Education Funds. We wanted to do a purchase order to improve our video surveillance system within the building itself. State contract, $44,985, that would be paid for out of security set aside. That would give us additional cameras. We have a lot of cameras. We want to have more. And we also wanted to do, quite frankly, I wanted to do a better job in the 100 wing with the daycare center. So this will provide additional cameras for that area. It will also bump up our annual cost to support a security system. I want to tell you, $150 a month. So putting this in will cost us $150. I think it's an investment worth making. It's usually the time of the year where, if our budget can sustain, we try to buy a piece of equipment for the maintenance team, either a tractor or a Zamboni or a scrubber or something along the way. So we have a super duper scrubber, and we're going to pay for that out of miscellaneous receipts. The board will recall we've had previous conversations about miscellaneous receipts, and we're fortunately beginning to start to earn interest on our local funds. Again, we've been at 0.00. I always think of Animal House when I say 0.00. And Mr. Blutarski. But the point is that we're starting to earn some interest money, and so the balances in miscellaneous receipts are starting to go up. And so when we have these once-in-a-while purchases, a new scrubber or those types of things, we'll take that out of miscellaneous receipts. Mrs. Hatfield and I have had a conversation about earned interest in beginning with the new fiscal year. We're going to distribute those interest or back to the accounts that generated them to begin with. So if local funds generated 70% of the interest earned, then 70% of interest would go back into local funds, or any of, we've probably got 20 different local fund accounts. She's looking forward to this exercise. I can tell, right?
That'll be fun.
We're going to be prorating that amount of money across those accounts. Some informational items. We made our latest payment to ABHA BSA in the amount of $308,743.36. A nice monthly bill. And we've also generated a purchase order to J.D. Hines and Associates for $16,345. The funding source is the new Sussex Technical High School budget for the expanded boring samples. Remember, we did get ahead of the boring samples for the new school back when we thought, well, maybe it'll go here. And so as the building has been laid out, additional borings are needed based upon the civil engineering that's associated with that. So this is an anticipated expense where it comes to.
I have two questions. The first thing, you know, we approved like this video surveillance system. It seems to me that any other cost you know, like a monthly maintenance agreement, somehow or other should be incorporated into this purchase order.
It's, and we would respectfully disagree in yeah. that the we're talking about the one-time purchase of equipment.
Right, the maintenance.
When and the operating portion of that goes into the operating budget that Mrs. Hatfield shares, and in that operating budget on the cost center, you'll see a security line.
Okay.
And so the it's taken into consideration.
Okay.
But it's embedded within the security expenses that are associated with the local funds for security.
Okay.
Or we also have the option of the state provided security funds. We paid, Chris, we had a $40-some thousand annual bill to Avantech for monitoring of our
right.
of our systems, and we paid for that out of the state provided security money. We also have our own local security money that's associated with that. That's why I wanted to disclose to you that
sure.
by increasing the amount of equipment that we have for security purposes, we're also incrementally, in a very small way, increasing our annual cost
yes.
associated with operating.
Yeah. And that's fine, just so it doesn't get out of hand.
Absolutely.
The second thing is, you know, new money now is getting 4.7% interest. Not the 0.05.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there any way that we can open up a new account and 4.6, 4.7, which you consider new money?
Our interest rate last month, the last one we got, was 2.7%. And that's what the state.
So that's all through the state.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's all through the
so
state.
We have
so our bank account.
In the state.
We don't have the choice of.
Right.
It's the state's bank account.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds fine.
And that's run through the treasurer's office. We'll leave it alone right there. But yes, we're glad that we're earning some interest. We wish it was twice as what we're receiving. Any other questions on the POs or vouchers? Bus contract transfer from Mr. Eby, who sends his regrets that he could not be here this evening. Request for a transfer of a contract for Route 24 from Lynn's Busing to Dutton. Both are current contractors in good standing, and there's no just cause to deny the request. We have the supporting document from both agencies, and we're recommending approval of the transfer. Item D, at the conclusion of the, during our last meeting, I indicated that I wanted to come back to a conversation that we've had in the past about the lottery process in terms of students being able to enroll at Sussex Tech. Now, I indicated that I would also at least get your initial thoughts about that in terms of what direction you would like it to go. I thought one of the ways that would be helpful, you recall Dr. Denby gave a report last fall regarding the admissions process at the other districts and what they have available to you. What I've just handed to you is this is an interesting question, is Delaware Code, Chapter 14, 2605, where we have the honor of being entitled regarding enrollment within our school district itself. It doesn't read well, and there's some applicability which probably isn't. Probably, in my opinion, isn't necessary to even be in code at this point, but it spells out the rule or the rules that are associated with the lottery process for us in what we're supposed to do with that and the methodology that comes with it. I intend to bring this conversation up tonight and advisory with the legislators, because this portion of the code is needs to be amended, and it needs to be amended for a lot of reasons. And the first being in A, where here's the conflict. It's saying 1,450 students for school year 24-25 and all years thereafter. Well, we have a certificate of necessity issued by the state of Delaware that says 1,600 with expandability to 1,800. So we have a conflicting piece of code with the reality of where we're headed. So we will have a conversation with our Sussex County delegation about the need for that at all, and or responsibilities for the lottery process itself. What's the issue and challenge and to open it up is the lottery system itself is pretty black and white. You apply, and the board's aware of this, 879 applications, 365 were pulled with the preferences for siblings and children who are employed by the district being factored into that as they go into. The discussion point, and Mr. Cronola has brought this up on other occasions, is there another way in which we can ensure that students who truly want to come to Sussex Tech for the reasons, they'll certainly correct me, to come into the school based upon their need and desire to be involved in vocational technical programs that are offered here, is something that needs to be discussed. That gets counterbalanced against the equity position of I want my son or child to attend Sussex Tech, and I want an equal shot at those 360 slots. So the lottery is playing. We've toiled with this conundrum before because it is one. It's unfortunate that our direction has to be legislated, and ultimately, I can tell you that my goal would be is to eliminate the whole section.
Now, is it Sussex Tech is unique in the fact that we're in Delaware code?
That's correct.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's nothing in there about Newcastle or
that's my point.
Polytech.
Is that, and you know, this is my opinion. I think we've paid our penitence.
Yes.
I think we have, you know, said that we will play fairly and nicely with others, and that we would like to have the same latitude that Polytech and Newcastle has. They also run a lottery. They also have preferences on program, and we'd like to have that flexibility also as we move forward. Dr. Donovan and I and others, we've had conversations about until such a time as we can get this either has to be amended or eliminated.
Yes.
Okay. And so we've begun those conversations, and that's why 24-25 in terms of A. In the meantime, what we've also had conversations about, and we've seen this in other districts that we visited for building plans, but also our colleagues in other counties, has been this type of process where students are enrolled into the school through the lottery process, and we have certainly a debate about that. But then there's an interview for students to get into a technical area for 10th grade. We visited Somerset County, and we talked with their teachers, and we've had discussions with our teachers. Should there be an interview process for students to get into your program for the 3 years of 10, 11, and 12 in order to be able to do that? Because are people signed up for the program who really don't have a true intent to occupy the space. This will be one of the points that are made, that those seats and the ninth grade registration that was held over the last 2 weeks, great program. I mean, one of the points that Dr. Donovan made and supported by Mr. Priscilio was that they had coveted spots. They were there as freshmen and they had coveted spots, you know, 360 and 879 that wanted to come in. And because those are coveted spots along the way, should there come a higher level of responsibility in order to maintain those coveted spots. So we start getting into discussions about student performance during the ninth grade year, attendance, motivation, all those types of conversations about remaining so that you can be here as a 10th, 11th, and 12th grade student. Probably won't sit well with my colleagues in districts of residence because they would say we have to educate whoever walks in the front door. And for the students who come to Sussex Tech who are selected, you should have to educate them also. I suspect that conversation would take place. So there's a sticky wicket. That's what it feels like. And that, you know, we're looking for students to get access to our programs, and this is where it becomes subjective, right? It becomes subjective. Is that how do you measure student motivation or the parent motivation?
Certain people have a tremendous amount of power dependent on who are the people that make the decisions about their motivation. That's the issue.
Well, that's right. And do we have students who are here? Dr. Donovan can speak, but we have students who are here because their parents said they were going to be here. And should that always be the case, right? But the student interest truly isn't there for vocational technical programs. Then how do you go through that process of having those discussions? So
you read about,
I'll stop there.
When you read about this, I read, you know, as much as I could read online, the lottery system for vocational technical schools is pretty controversial, not just here, but everywhere. A lot of schools do what Sussex Tech used to do. They look at grades, they look at discipline, they look at attendance, and those school districts are heavily criticized. But when you read about the efforts to try and change that, there's heavy criticism on the other side, too. And so, I mean, and, you know, so I don't know what they said. Whatever what I read about, the answer is more spaces. You need more capacity to answer the need, either at a school like this or, you know, a third vocational school, maybe one between Kent and Sussex County, to address the needs. But that's what I found. That, you know, there's both sides of the issue, and there really is no agreement. And the only solution, from what I read about, was, you know, more capacity, more spaces.
The safe answer became the lottery. Everybody put their name in the computer. The computer draws it out, and that computer drawing will be viewed as good by some and not good by others. But it does meet an equity standard based upon an enrollment. Probably back into the code or the constitution too about, you know, access to free public education, and that's certainly available through the district of residence. It doesn't do the deep dive into, you know, the county vocational systems, at least in terms of how they work. From my perspective, it seems to me that if you have an agreement about how you're going to operate, and they have one at Polytech and they have one at Newcastle, why should we be held to a different standard from that perspective? And it should be, in my opinion, based upon trust of selecting students. Mr. Guthrie went through that process with, you know, offering to districts of residence, tell us who you want to send.
tell us who you want to send, who you believe, based upon your 9 years with them, you know, would best be served. No one took us up on the offer.
Not one.
Not a single one. So, you know, it's, those would be some of the discussion.
The question I have is, you know, if you go to the system you just said, the carrot is talking to the student, ninth grade students, knowing that we're looking at them, we're interested in them, and we want to get a right placement. Yeah. But the stick is you're not going to kick them out, right?
I think there's a legal question there, in my opinion. Because if you put a standard in for maintaining enrollment in the district as a 10th grader, and can you even do it? You know, Dr. Hoffman has questioned me on, I don't think you can do what it is you're saying that you want to have. I think she's right. I think there's a legal question that once you've accepted a student into the school, then, you know, and the standards, Gary, I'll use your example, mm-hmm. attendance, discipline, those types of things, can they be used as points of measure to say that you're unenrolled,
right.
and that we're going to enroll, you know, the next 40 students who are on the waiting list to come in as 10th graders along the way. I think there's a fundamental problem, however, I think with this document, that to me, I think we have to get to an even playing field to begin with, and then get into the discussion point about this.
Now, under normal school choice, not talking about vocational school, but under normal school choice, students sign a contract. The contract talks about attendance, behavior, and you can.
And space.
You can, and space, and you can make the effort, to, if you need to send them back where they, back to their home school. And that, I mean, that's different, but similar to what we're talking about.
Yes, it is. Mr. Knoll, your thoughts or what you'd like to put on the table?
First, I agree with you about getting rid of the whole system, but if that were not the case, and they want to stick with the lottery system, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I think a modified lottery system catered towards each technical area. In other words, each technical area has their own lottery system, so that we guarantee, not guarantee, but closely guarantee, that each of our technical areas is filled with somebody who's wants to be in that technical area, and that would be done by an application. We would have to change our application. And their first choice would be carpentry. Second choice would be this, and they would go into lottery first as a carpentry. Their second choice would only come up if carpentry was filled, they didn't get in it, and there was still opening for their second choice. Mm-hmm. So thus, it benefits us as a school district that we guarantee our classes are being full with students who are signing up for that program.
Do you see that, the modified lottery, being applicable at the 10th grade level or the 9th grade level?
Well, again, we'd have to look at, I mean, I know that's a big question because we do exploratory in 9th grade.
Right.
But we also have talked about, we have at least one trade that we could do away with that very easily so that they get all of their hours. Would we look at, well, that's something else to look at. It's just an added on thing that maybe we do away with the exploratory. Right.
I agree that something's going to have to be considered if we're going
to. And we've had those discussions also about the summer programs.
So we also have that one where they apply to, they have their first and second, what else is school? Was actually school.
Well, they had four schools.
Right. So
and I don't think a lottery hardly comes into play up there.
No, I don't think
it does at all. But they do have to submit some documentation. They have to submit their 7th and 8th grade academic record and some other things.
Yes.
Dr. Demme?
Well, Polytech and Newcastle Academy. You don't necessarily go on a lottery to go into a specific technical area. Once you are admitted in the general population, you have to be interviewed and just decide if which technical area you'll get in. And then you'll fall to one of the lower performing ones if you don't get into the one you chose. So it's kind of a two-step process.
Right. But Newcastle has four schools, and
yes,
and they have different technical areas at each school.
Yes. Now, some of them double because when you think of Newcastle County, I always try to give this example. You have Howard in the city of Wilmington. You have St. George's pretty much right out there with Middletown, so to speak. So some of them have the same programs, but there's probably 30 programs that they can choose from between the system.
And then the particular program they pick will dictate which school they go to. Do you agree?
No. The school choice is first.
Okay.
Then the program choice. If you don't get in the program at this school, if there's space in another school, you
can do that. Okay. Okay.
But the technical teacher technically interviews. You want to be a nursing student. I'm going to interview you to see if you're serious. And if you don't come across as being a serious student, then I may pass you off to the HVAC teacher.
At any point, does somebody pass them back to their home school? Would they just drop? I didn't think so. Yeah.
They're in.
No, but eventually you have to have a landing spot.
Yep. You do.
Newcastle have more applications than they do space.
They have more space than they have applications.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
Depends on the school.
Like I said, Newcastle County is really even hard to even put in a comparison because there's so many choices up there compared to Sussex County. So it's a sheer capacity.
They have
hundreds of choices.
They got a lot of choices. More applicants than they do spaces.
That's correct. There's more.
And they have a lot.
Similar to us, and they run a lot of charter schools.
Is it the same lottery, though?
I understand. Dr. Demi-Kidney. Talk about the lottery system at Polytech.
Yes.
How do they manage that?
Well, they manage it after the exploratory process. So the students can get, they'll go and do some exploratory. They don't get every area. But once they go through the exploratory, again, I'm going to go back to Ms. Jones. Go through the exploratory, you want to be a nurse. You go in and you interview. But you say in your interview, I'm only here because my mom wants me to be here because of the climate of the school. And I like you, Mr. Nursing Teacher, so you can be my teacher. It's probably decided that you're probably not motivated to be a nurse. Probably won't be able to invest the time to pass the CNA exam. So, which will be your second choice on your application? Then you go and interview with that teacher because you put that in your application again. And these are the possible areas you may be interested in. And then you go and interview with that teacher.
So what's the process to get to that point? To get into Poly,
just a lottery.
Same as our.
Just an open lottery.
It's open lottery and a school of choice app. So they
do service.
And you know what? It's kind of hitting home because I have a niece that got into Polytech this year, so the whole family was happy. Okay? But when she goes, she's going to have to decide which way, and then she has to interview to get in.
So in spring of their ninth grade year is when this interview?
No. Once they say in the spring of their ninth, yes, spring of their ninth
grade
year. After they
to go into the particular
yes.
area in the ninth grade year.
I'm sorry? What happens here? We're having an exploratory program. I'm assuming that's the purpose of that is for them to decide what.
Yeah. So three marking periods. They go two areas per marking period. Fourth marking period, they make the choice.
They make a choice, Dr. Carson, but then there's some. We do look over to make sure the kids that picked a certain area had passing scores in their exploratory. There's some conversations, but there's nothing formal. And that's what we're exploring as a formal process to make sure that the right kids get in the right space and deserve to be there. So there's some communication aspects.
There's also a safety component that needs to come into this. I mean, if you have 50 10th graders that want to be in carpentry, right? And you have a single carpentry teacher, then, you know, we haven't gotten into the HJ and Auto Tech, right? With the number of students there. Well, you've got different things going on with a fairly large building. You got to make sure that things are done in a safe way. And my suspicion would be, and this is where the imbalance comes in, you have some programs that are over capacity, and we have some programs that are undersubscribed in capacity. and yet the same amount of resources are placed, in which gets us into our conversation. Looking at the board about two teacher programs. What's the trend? How are you going to build it? Do you have the flexibility to increase capacity, you know, in places? My suggestion would be that I'd like to pursue this first in terms of trying to either eliminate, or which may not happen, it might be too soon for them, but either eliminate or get it into a form, the code-in form, that gives us a higher degree of flexibility about getting into the school. And I use Polytech and Newcastle as examples, even though they're different. But they won't really, I don't know if they'll hear that they're different, other than that Newcastle has a way of getting kids into their school and Poly has a way of getting kids into their school. And if it's good for them, why couldn't it be good for us? That would be my suggestion in terms of going forward. I do think that the student should bear some responsibility towards justifying why he or she should be in a certain technical area, either as ninth graders or 10th graders. But the question I asked you, Will, I don't, you know, I'm thinking that by 10th grade, you got to know where you're going to be and what you're doing. And because you're about to make a 3-year commitment that has standards associated with it. And Cosmo could be a 4-year commitment, you know, just to drive all that home. So I think there's multiple approaches here. I think because you got in the door, it doesn't mean you should have carte blanche. Some would argue with me about that along the way. I think you should rationalize being here.
The thing that's the hardest thing to solve is, are the 350 of the 870 kids who applied, are they
the right one?
Best kids? Most needy kids to come to Suston. I don't know how you solve that.
And the answer is, quite frankly, you don't solve that. Because when you use words like best or a subjective term, that's why the fallback became the lottery. Because you didn't have to define best. You were number 67. Congratulations, you're in. And if you look at the data associated with our school district, we are, over the last 5 years, we are very, in my opinion, very representative of the county averages. Percentage of special education, percentages of students that if you took county average in different demographic categories, we're a lot closer to those numbers today than we were 5 years ago. And that's a straight product of the lottery system, which was the objective, you know, because then we've had discussions about OCR and you know, the applicability of the standard that goes across there. But we're inconsistent from a state. I understand why this is here. I understand it. But it was a long time ago, and why don't we get it cleaned up? Because we're going to have to clean it up anyways, because you're letting us build a building for 1,800 students.
Hey, definitely needs to be revised.
To be continued. I mean, it's not a one and done. It's a big discussion, and I think if the board wants to, you know, adopt this as a work plan for the board in terms of pursuing this conversation, we can make that happen. But I wanted to begin with, and Mr. Cronolos brought it up last fall, and I asked him to be patient about the issue. But to me, we're going to be looking at an implementation schedule that gets us there. But I think it begins with this in terms of being step one.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah. I'd like to see, you know, the state or the community define what our mission is. Okay, in other words, this goes back to the very basic question we talked about in the beginning. Is our mission to get people prepared to do vocational training for services that the community needs, the state needs, or college bound. And they're not mutually exclusive, but they're not exactly mutually inclusive either. So what's the state want? What's the community want?
My response, Dr. Masson, would be that the board affirmed the mission and purpose of the district, let's say 6 months ago.
Yeah, right.
About direction, and I don't have it in front of me, but we're preparing students for their future,
right.
And the that future is broad, and I think that's the your point about whether it should be specific or whether it should maintain to be broad.
Yes.
And I'm speaking for you, not as the board. But we talked about career preparation. We've talked about the military and the option for post-secondary training, which we also consider to be apprenticeship, and the work that comes along with that. So.
Now, I guess what I'm saying is, to the state, why are you giving us extra money to run these vocational programs?
Because we do it better than most.
Right, compared to the local district. Because if they get the same education as the local district, then why does extra money go to Sussex Tech for the vocational programs if we're not going to emphasize the vocational programs somehow, some way?
I would
tell you. But the question is, how do we solve that problem?
Well, we have by creating a county vocational system so we have one for tech.
Right. So therefore, the students that are here who don't really belong here, they're here because their mother or father wanted here, or they're going into dentistry.
I think the difficulty is who determines that.
Yes, exactly right.
Who makes that judgment?
Which is a discussion about admission in the first place. I mean, our purpose has remained the same since 61. I mean, it was an economy of scale driven program to provide career vocational technical education, but it gave options for students to continue their education. And I mean, unless we adopt a straight European model, right?
Which is what?
And we don't in this country, that students may enter thinking one way and come out another way in terms of what they want to do. We've seen it go both ways. I mean, one of the reasons I think for the acceleration of growth in adult education is that the light went on, or I have to support my family when the certification that comes along with apprenticeship programs is the answer for me. And I think Kelly and her group have done a good job of putting those options on the table for folks along the way. I would tell you the reason for our existence was an economic one, and because you couldn't replicate culinary in every district, or auto tech in every district, or dental assisting in every district along the way, which circles us back down to the original question of who gets into the schools and how should that be determined.
Yes.
So, and that's on the table, and so I'd like it to stay on the table if you're comfortable with that as a board.
Absolutely.
Okay. Construction update. I'm going to motor through some things pretty quick. We continue to have conversations regarding natural gas with the building. Actually, the GIPE, our consultant regarding this, would like to have some answers. Are you really going to have gas? Because if you're going to have gas, then we're going to design a system this way. So Holly's been in contact with as late as today regarding that. Spoke to you about the borings. We continue to have, I point to the wall, but we continue to have teacher meetings each morning regarding classroom space and current designs. There's editing that's occurring. That input continues to take place. Our teachers have been great in those conversations. They appreciate the opportunity to be here at the table. We're still addressing some leaks in the roofing area. That'll continue to be a process. And the last item on HUD's report is we did replace the fixtures that were in those areas that were deemed to be bad regarding lead testing. We were retested on April the 19th, and everything is now below any the standard set by the state, so everything is good. The signs are down, water can be used, new fixtures are in place. Life is good in Happy Valley. You probably saw it today, there was an article in the paper too where $3.8 million was appropriated in order to put filtering systems on the water supplies that actually submit to school buildings. Secretary Holodeck announced that today, and then the legislature has approved that.
That's all school buildings, irrespective of quality work?
I'd like to see the details, because we have 210 school buildings in the state of Delaware, and some of them come from town systems,
right,
on their water, a well system like ours, or others. But it's a step in the right direction. If the belief is filtering is going to improve water supply, good. We're at good levels of performance regarding our water. That's the main thing that we need to take in place. Dr. Donovan, high school report?
Yes, I've put together one report for you. I'll lift a few things out in the interest of time. We did have our scheduling night for our rising freshmen, two nights where we visited with over 253 families who came out to start the process of being a Raven early. I did set the tone with some expectations, as Dr. Carson mentioned, with you have a very important spot, and with it comes expectations and future success. So we're going to follow it up with what you need to think about as you enter high school. We had the nurses speak to families that may need to have a conversation. We had our counselors there lined up with their computers to make adjustments to the areas they want to explore. What level of Spanish that they need. Try to knock out all those things ahead of time so that once they start next year, we're way far ahead and we can really get moving on now, what we're supposed to do. So, successful night. We've discussed how we're going to make it even better next year, have more representation, and it accomplished what it needed to and beyond. So we're very happy with that. We only had about 120 students to reach out to this summer to get some information. That was good. We did have our prom recently. Beautiful day in the 70s. Unfortunately, that meant that there was a lot of people at the beach area, but our families living in the community know what they had to do to get down to the Grand March. We had hundreds of kids go through on the bandstand stage. Beautiful backdrop, the beach. Couldn't have asked for a better situation. After that, they walked down to the beach, got the pictures, took a short walk to the Rehoboth Beach Convention Center, and we danced the night away. It was an exciting night, and the kids looked great. And everybody got home safely, which was the big thing. A lot of our students are competing and winning first, second, third place at the state level. We have 15 students heading to two different states, Dallas and Atlanta. Very proud of them. That's what it's all about. And you have all those names and information in front of you. I want to highlight Dr. Tull. I think we recognized him last time. He was a finalist for Counselor of the Year. Unfortunately, he wasn't the chosen one. We're very proud of him and what he did to represent our school. So I think that'll do it for this evening.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple of things that I would add on. This is Staff Appreciation Week, and we do appreciate all of the individuals who make a difference in the lives of our students, both day and evening programs, and we've presented them with little tokens of our appreciation during the week. The board received an example of that will be going out on Friday of this week. But we have a great staff, and we have people that work really hard and care about students, and so I want to say that we certainly appreciate their effort. I would say that we participated in the Secretary of Ed Scholars, the Spanish Honor Society. Adult education was reviewed and got a glowing response from the Department of Ed about a program that we should all be proud of, and we are. The CDL simulator has arrived. They haven't showed me how to turn it on yet, which is probably smart.
It's a simulator. You
and that's all. That's all I have for you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Let's move to board reports, Ms. Jones.
We met on April 26th. And just real quick, House Bill 96, has it been tabled? Dr. Carson thought it may be tabled. 16-year-olds can vote in school board elections.
It's been tabled.
It's been tabled, okay. Yes. But that was concerned about 16-year-olds being able to vote in school board elections, no other things. And then there was a bunch of House Bills, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 200, about mental health issues from, and they were just proposed the day before we had our meeting, but we went through them about mental health issues in the public schools.
And everybody was supported by the DSB
yes.
as well. Yes.
Well, there was a few clarifications, and one we wanted to oppose because it was usurping local authority, and there was a few that we think need to be better written.
Thank you, Ms. Jones. Mr. Hayes.
Just briefly as well. DSBA boot camp is on July 8th. Anyone who wants to attend for board members. And the actual luncheon for DSBA members, all board members, is August the 5th. So John
the annual?
Yes.
He's still going to do?
Yes, he will, of course.
August 5th, you said?
And one last thing. There's another lawsuit out there about social media. The DSBA will not participate as a whole, but it's as each board, each representative, district, sorry, Gary and Dr. Carson, too.
We have those documents. If you remember the Juul litigation, same organization
yes.
representing, we intend to participate in pairs. Districts, the majority of districts in the state are participating in the process. I'll keep you apprised of that.
The decision been made on new leadership, or where are we?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask.
We're interviewing one last candidate tomorrow night, and actual presentations on June the 5th on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. Next, we'll move to public participation. If you're participating in the Zoom meeting this evening and would like to address the board, please use the raise your hand feature on Zoom. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Option two, you can send questions or comments to our website for a response at a later time. Board of Education of Sussex Tech District recognizes its responsibility to the public and its employees concerning their needs to communicate with the Board of Education. The Board values public participation, recognizes the importance of public input in issues affecting the community. At the beginning of your presentation, please identify yourself and the purpose of your presentation. Presentations are limited to 3 minutes.
We have no one, sir.
Okay, hearing none, we'll move to agenda action items. I need a motion for the approval of the personnel action items, including the superintendent's recommendation.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Johnson, seconded by Ms. Jones. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of the monthly financials for April 30th, 2023, and the ESSER summary.
So moved, Will Knuggle.
Second. Dr. Motion made by Mr. Knuggle, seconded by Dr. Maston. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of district purchase orders and vouchers.
So moved, Marcel Hayes.
Second.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Hayes, seconded by Ms. Wise. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Next, I need a motion for the approval of US 24 contract transfer.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second, Marcel Hayes.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Hayes. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. Is there any unfinished business or new business? Hearing none, I need a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Adele Jones.
Second, Will Knuggle.
Motion made by Ms. Jones, seconded by Mr. Knuggle. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes unanimously. The next board meeting is Wednesday, June 14th, 2023.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.